Let's take a quick look at the scripture in prayer. I want to share with you tonight concerning the early church and prayer. Let me just say that not everything the early church did is mandatory for us today. However, where they learned and developed and were blessed, it's a pretty good idea that we ought to pay close attention to it. The church has never been as powerfully effective as it was in the beginning. Part of the reason is that prayer was a major part of their worship. So tonight, notice 7 examples from the book of Acts. Only 10 or 20 minutes for each point, and we'll be... First of all, from Acts chapter 2, I begin by quoting from Acts chapter 1, Acts 1:14, these, speaking of the 11 disciples, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. In fact, it gives us a total of about 120 that gathered for that prayer meeting time. When God intends to do a mighty work in the world, he sets his believers to serious prayer. Notice the results of the prayer from Acts 1:14, which we find in Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's a Jewish feast, and happens 50 days after Passover. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Sound like a tornado. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. It doesn't say that it was a mighty wind. It was the sound of a mighty wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. This isn't a snake cloven tongue. What this says is literally that the fire was cloven. The fire was divided off, perhaps the fire from above, and then it bonk, went over and danced above the heads of, sat on each one of them. They look like candles now. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, foreign languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And verse 41, then they that gladly received his word as a result of Peter's preaching were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, unto the church, and we know this because they must have taken the names and had a membership list, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was a good meeting. So, number one, we see the beginning of the church, and even then, the promised Holy Spirit coming, as Christ said he would, was preceded by prayer, people given to prayer. The second one, from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You remember the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. That's why they were grieved every time they heard it. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. They got jailed for preaching the resurrection. When problems arise, the believers went to God in believing prayer. Verses 23, 24, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, instead of saying, oh no, the government's against us, they said with one accord, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They gave thanks that they were counted worthy to suffer. They were beaten. as well as put in jail, to suffer for the Lord's sake. And notice the powerful results in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. It was like an earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And so they danced in the aisles and they... No, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. They became witnesses, you see. When problems were turned over to God in prayer, victory was the result. Third one is in Acts chapter 6. The apostles found themselves with so many people in the church, because 3,000 was how it began, added in, and many, many more came. They found themselves unable to manage all the record keeping for handing out food to the church widows. They made an important decision, the apostles did. Even though dealing with widows was very important, they turned the job over to deacons so they could concentrate on two things: the Word of God and prayer. How important was this work with the widows? James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God, which means that any other religion is what? Impure and defiled, right? Before God and the Father is this, to visit, to help out the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So this was the mark of pure religion. This is the only time religion's really used in a really good word, good way here. This is the true Christianity. Acts 6:4, they said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. And they actually listed that first. And to the ministry of the word. Prayer then is the essential work of pastors. Dr. Halcombe and I were talking about a promising student who we can't get to keep coming to school, just dropping out. It's not a financial thing, in his case, not at all. I mean, the financial problem may be that he has too much money. And we've tried everything. Everything we can think of. And I said, let's covenant together once a day to pray for him. Ask God to keep his hedge of thorns about him, hedge of protection, to keep out destructive temptation, to give him the grace and the strength to overcome whatever's going on. And so he said, let's do that right now. So he prayed and I prayed. And he said, maybe I can call his wife. So he called and got the voicemail. So I was about to ready to walk out, and the student called. He's been avoiding the calls for a week, 2 weeks. But he called. And this is not just a novel idea that I came up with. This is the essential work of shepherds. Then we find number 4 in Acts 8, verses 14 to 17. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, that people were getting saved there, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is probably talking about that speaking in tongues, which had become at this point the miraculous thing that set the Christians apart from everybody else. And they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. While we don't pray and lay hands on and get speaking in tongues, because that gift has passed away when the Word of God was completed, prayer for one another, some of what we do a lot of on Wednesday night, is a uniting force between believers, and in this case, even between those who have been fiercely divided by prejudice, the Jews and the Samaritans. You remember when Jesus sat at the well in Samaria, the woman comes, she's quietly getting ready to lower her water bottle down to fill it up, and he says, "Could I have a drink of water, please?" And she's amazed. She says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, speaking to me, a woman of Samaria?" The gospel writer John adds in there, for the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. Prayer united. There's no Jew or Samaritan or Gentile in Christ. We're brother and sister, right? The fifth one is in Acts chapter 10. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. God is going to use this time to call him to the work with Cornelius. So let's recognize that he put him in prayer first. And prayer will prepare the believer for submission to unusual witnessing. You find yourself burdened in prayer, give in to that burden, spend the time in prayer. God may be preparing your heart in a special way for unusual witnessing. Number 6, Acts 12, verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. James had been taken, had been summarily tried, and beheaded. Then they took Peter, put him in the same place. But, in Peter's case, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You remember what happened is a very strange story. An angel appears to him in the jail cell. What's odd about that, I mean, besides an angel appearing, is that he was chained between two soldiers. They don't wake up. Peter's asleep. They're asleep, evidently. They don't wake up. The chains drop off of Peter. The door opens up. He walks out. The gate to the whole place opens up by itself. He walks out. And he's saying to himself, this is really a great dream. I love this kind of dream. Doors opening and stuff like that. And then he's just standing there in the street. He's awake. So prayer will be rewarded with even miraculous answers. We set it before the Lord. He can use regular things to answer it or miraculous things. Number 7, Acts 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. Talking about the church at Antioch, the first really Gentile church. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it gives us the list. Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The laying on of hands here is I confer my blessing, my prayer wish for you. So we recognize in the seventh case that churches who pray earnestly, which was characteristic here of prayer and fasting, they were concerned enough about this that they didn't eat, they just prayed, will have members sent into God's special work. It's been a blessing for us to find through these years that number of people sent out to do God's work. Some of them, like a boomerang, have come back. Brother Jeb, we sent out to Washington, and then to Oregon, but God brought him back. We're glad for that. Others we've sent out, and they haven't circled back yet, but great to understand. My son John, I think along that way, and he was telling me some of the difficulties they're having at the church. It's a big church up there in Warren, Michigan, and the pastor Berlin, used to be here in Indiana, not in Indianapolis, but in Indiana, and seemed like it was Fort Wayne or someplace, and I had met him before, but he was called there as the new pastor. Well, after that, they found a new assistant pastor, so that's two new ones, and then they found John to be the music assistant pastor. So the only three pastors they have are all new within a year. This is a pretty well established church, and the last two pastors were the man that I think started it and his son-in-law who took over. So things aren't like they always were, and that's almost like heresy to a lot of people. But we've always done it this way. So some rough patches and things are going to have to be done. And the pastor just seems to be handling this so well, so humbly, so carefully. And and John has become, I don't know, a special friend and confidant. And John's like that. He has the gift of mercy. He understands how you're feeling before you say anything. what a blessing to think how God will take of our own people and send them out to be a blessing here, there, and beyond. All right, let's remember how important prayer is, what it can accomplish, what God is trying to get us prepared for.